请我们低头祷告。
And let's bow and pray.
主啊，求你打开我们的眼睛。
Lord, open our eyes.
让我们看见你律法的奥秘。
So that we can see the wonderfulness of your laws.
你的话是我们脚前的灯和路上的光。
That your words become a lamp to my feet and a light to my road.
主啊，让我们走在光明中，能够得见你自己。
Help us to walk in light and to see your own face.
这是我们个人的祷告。
This is our personal prayer.
也是我们全教会的祷告。
And the corporate prayer of the church.
求主在以下的时间向我们施恩。
Bless us in the remaining of this worship time.
让我们在你面前好像玛利亚一样得到那上好的福分。
Help us to be like Mary to receive the best portion.
让我们听，让我们靠着你的恩典，也知道怎么样去行道。
Help us to hear and to work out what we have heard.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
今年教会的主题是建立基督的身体。
The theme for our church this year is to build up the body of Christ.
刚才我们在读以弗所书的时候，我们知道这句话是出自保罗给以弗所教会所写的书信。
When we read the book of Ephesus, you will realize that our theme is taken from this letter.
我们以这句话作为今年的主题，原因是因为要配合物质建殿的工作。
One of the reasons why we picked this as our theme so that we canbuild up the church spiritually along with the physical building of our church.
我们知道物质圣殿的建造就是叫做教堂。
Building the physical church is building the church building.
基督身体的建造才叫做教会。
But the body of Christ is what we really refer to when we say the church.
教堂外观的华丽。
Yes, the church building can be majestic.
或者教堂人数的热闹。
Yes, there may be a large attendance during Sunday worship.
不代表这个教会的正常和健全。
But these does not tell us whether the church is healthy.
在几年前我们从隔壁搬到这边来的时候，
Several years ago when we moved from next doors into this sanctuary.
我们曾经提到如果教会单单在人数的增长，
We have mentioned if we only grow in terms of numbers,
不是讲教会长大，而是讲到教会长胖而已。
Then the church did not grow, it just grew fatter.
因为我们发现今天长有两种的长。
Because we realize there are two kinds of growth.
一种是健康的长。
One is a healthy kind of
growth. 一种是不健康的长。
But there's also an unhealthy kind of
growth. 如果教会单单在人数上增长，
If we only increase in numbers,
而不是在生命的本质上增长，
But we do not grow in terms of our life qualities.
教会看起来很热闹。
Yes, we may feel a lot of activities going on.
几年前我们说不过是看出这个教会虚胖而已。
But then we characterize such a church as just being fat.
保罗在写信给以弗所教会的时候，
When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus,
他心里面有个很重的负担。
In his heart is a heavy burden.
在使徒行传第二十章已经感觉到他那个负担。
You can see his burden for this church early on in Acts chapter 20.
因为他对以弗所教会有非常深的感情。
He has a deep affection for the church there.
当他接受神的差遣要离开他侍奉多年的以弗所教会的时候，
When we felt being called by God to leave this church where he have served for several years,
他语重心长地告诉以弗所的长老们，
Through his heart and his words, he shared his feelings with the elders.
教会要不断地长大，而不是单单地长胖而已。
He encouraged them to make sure that the church will grow and not just to grow fatter.
当他有机会坐下来写以弗所书的时候，
Later on when he had the time to write this letter,
他更深地把他里面的负担接着这六章的圣经把它表达出来。
He developed more fully what he has felt in his heart into these six chapters.
他把 教会被建立，特别以身体来做比方的这样一个负担，告诉以弗所教会的弟兄姊妹。
He used the analogy for building up a body to encourage the church there.
在过去几年来，我个人有一点点身体建立的一点小经验。
In the past several years, I've had this small experience in the physical building of my body.
这是回到台湾许多的朋友见到。
This time when I went back to Taiwan, many old friends saw me.
他们看到我跟我握了手以后都恭喜我。
When they shook my hands, they congratulated me.
我刚才看到这个欧泰照弟兄这个桂林姊妹在我们中间，我们有好几年没有见面。
We know that Mrs. Andy Ao Guiling is with us today. We haven't seen each other for several years.
几年没有见，她看到我，不知道有没有台湾那些老朋友看到我同样的感觉。
I do not know how she felt when she saw me.
在台湾弟兄姊妹看到我就说了一句话。
But those in Taiwan who haven't seen me for a while, when they saw me, they said one thing.
李牧师好几年没有见了哈。
Pastor Lee, we haven't seen you for several years.
老当益壮，老当益壮。
You look very strong.
感谢主，他把我不高兴的那句话没有翻译出来。我听他们讲这句话，又高兴又难过。
When I heard what they said, I was happy and I was sad because they said, even though I'm older, I'm stronger.
高兴的是他说我壮。
I'm very happy that they say I look very strong.
难过的，他们还是没有逃掉那个老子。
I'm very sad that they've mentioned that I'm growing older.
他们说李牧师你腰围减小了。
They say, Pastor Lee, your waistline has decreased.
他说你的背杆挺直了。
Your back seems straighter.
他说你的精神抖擞了。
You look very spirited.
我马上知道一件事情。
I know immediately.
这几年游泳和晨跑建立了我的身体。
This is a result of my swimming and morning runs.
我们发现建立身体不是一件很简单的事情。
We know it's not a simple matter to build our bodies up.
很多人都想建立自己有一个健康的身体。
All of us want to have a healthy body.
但是我们知道要付代价才能够真正得到那样一个果效。
But we know we have to pay a price in order to achieve this state.
当以弗所写到教会真理的时候，
When Paul wrote about the truth of the church,
他特别给我们看到如何来建立这一个耶稣基督的身体。
He mentioned how we can build the body of Christ.
以弗所书刚才我说一共有六章。
I have just mentioned there are six chapters in this letter.
非常明显的，前面三章和后面三章分成两个明显的段落。
In the context, it's very clear that the first three chapters talks about a different area from the last three.
很简单的说，前面三章是讲到上帝在基督里给我们的丰富是什么。
Very simply put, the first three chapters talked about the richness that God has prepared for us in Christ.
在后面三章是讲到我们在基督里给上帝的回应是什么。
The last three chapters talks about how we respond to God in Christ.
前面三章是讲到上帝给我们的。
The first three chapters talk about what God has given us.
后面三章是讲到我们怎么回应上帝给我们的恩典。
But the last three chapters talks about how we respond to the blessings of God.
前面三章讲到理论。
The first three chapters are more theoretical.
后面三章讲到实践。
But the last three chapters talk about practical things.
前面三章讲到真理。
The first three chapters emphasizes truth.
后面三章讲到生活。
But the last three chapters emphasizes conduct.
这两部分在基督教的信仰里面是不可少的两部分。
And these two areas are what we need today.
有一次有人问印度的甘地这样一句话。
Remember one time a person asked Gandhi of India a question.
他们问他说基督教在印度最大的败笔是什么？最大的软弱是什么？
The person asked Gandhi, what is the greatest failure of Christianity in India?
Gandhi 非常干脆地回答他说基督徒。
He said very frankly, it's the Christians.
弟兄姊妹，基督教的失败，基督教的软弱，基督教的拦阻，却是基督徒，这是个非常讽刺的一件事情。
What an insulting remark to say that Christians are the mark of failure of Christianity.
后来人就继续地问他，为什么你这样回答呢？
So the person pressed on and said, why did you say that?
他说在印度的基督徒只有理论而没有生活。
Said the Christians in India have only theory and no practice.
只有真理而没有实践。
They have truth, but they do not have the conduct to prove it.
换句话说，只有以弗所书前三章，而没有以弗所书后三章。
In other words, we only have the first three chapters and not the last three.
可以讲得头头是道，却不能够道成肉身。
Even though we can speak of lofty words, our words do not become our lives.
所以从以弗所书第四章到第六章，保罗语重心长地谈到信仰的实用的那一面。
So in chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul shared from his heart how we can practice what we believe.
换句话说，后面三章是讲到基督徒生活的那一面。
In other words, the last three chapters emphasizes how we should live.
这三章圣经里面提到两代之间如何相处。
It mentioned how we can treat intergenerational relations.
夫妇之间应该有什么样的关系？
The relation between husband and wife.
保罗甚至提到主人跟仆人应该有什么样的态度？
The attitudes between the master and the slave.
但是弟兄姊妹，当我在准备今天这一篇信息的时候，
And brothers and sisters, when I was preparing today's message,
我非常深的一个感动。
I have this moving in my heart.
当我们提到生活的时候，
When we mention living,
我们马上想到人际的关系。
We think about interpersonal relations.
我们发现今天的社会，
We discovered in today's society.
我们发现今天的家庭，
In today's homes.
问题就在于人际的关系。
The question arises from interpersonal relations.
如果我们把人际的关系建立起来，
If we can build this up correctly,
我们就可以解决许多今天世界上的问题。
Then we can solve many of today's problems.
但是当保罗讲到人际关，讲到生活这个层面的时候，
But when Paul mentioned about living,
他把这些人际的关系放在后面。
He put these interpersonal relations to the back.
在第四章一开始的时候，他讲到的不是家庭人际的关系，而是讲到教会合一的见证。
In chapter 4, he did not start with the testimony of the home. He started with the unity of the church.
当我思想这件事情的时候，
When I meditate upon this,
因为多年来我一直看重家庭的关系，
Because in the past years, I have emphasized the importance of the family.
为什么保罗在这里把家庭的关系放在后面，而把教会合一的见证放在前面来谈呢？
I ponder the reason why Paul placed the family unit behind the unity of the church.
我想到，只想到一个答案。
I can only think of one answer.
因为其他人际的关系对于基督教的见证的影响固然很大，但是比起教会的见证显得小多了。
The testimony of the unity in the church must take precedence over all these others.
不错，夫妇出问题会影响今天人对基督教的这个印象。
True, if there are problems arising between husband and wife, that will influence others' viewpoints upon Christianity.
但是教会见证的失败，对于这个影响就更大。
But if a church fails in this testimony, this has a tremendous impact.
这次我们在菲律宾开会。
When we were meeting in the Philippines,
全世界有1400多华人教会的领袖共聚一堂。
Over 1400 of the Chinese church leaders were gathered.
感谢主，我们在主面前领受许多新的挑战。
We praise the Lord because we receive many new challenges.
我们也交换许许多多教会的消息。
We also exchange many news about the church around the world.
这次我在Manila 听到一个使我心里面很沉重，我相信每一个听到这个消息的人心里面都很难过的消息。
One of these news weighed very heavily on my heart.
讲到在北美有一个华人教会。
Talked about a certain Chinese church in North America.
这件事情发生不到一个月之前。
something happened there less than a month ago.
一个教会的牧师在一气之下拿起斧头把他教会的执事把他砍死掉。
The pastor got felt very angry, grabbed an axe and killed the deacon.
当我听到这个消息的时候，
When I heard this news,
我几乎不相信我的耳朵。
I cannot believe my ears.
牧师怎么可以拿斧头呢？
How can a pastor take hold of an axe?
怎么可以拿斧头杀人呢？
And use that axe to murder.
怎么可以用斧头杀主内的弟兄呢？
How can he use an axe to murder a brother in Christ?
怎么可以用斧头来杀主内的同工呢？
How can he kill a co-worker?
当我想到这件事情的时候，百思不得其解。
I cannot come up with a satisfactory answer.
我只想到一件事情。
I can only think of one thing.
因着这件事情，耶稣基督的见证受到蒙羞，受到羞辱。
Because of this incident, the testimony of Christ have received a tremendous setback.
也证明保罗在这里给我们看见他的负担。
And it also proves to us that Paul's burden is correct.
教会合一的见证远超过人际之间，人与人之间的那个关系。
The testimony of the unity of the church is more important than individual interpersonal relations.
所以保罗在以弗所书第四章一开始提到教会合一的问题。
So right in the beginning of chapter 4, Paul emphasized the concept of one body.
请各位翻回到以弗所书第四章，刚才我们所读的这一段的经文。
Let's turn now back to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesus.
在这十六节的圣经很明显的可以分成两个大段落。
You can see there are two main themes in this passage.
第一节到第六节是一个段落。
The first six verses is one paragraph.
从第七节到第十六节是另外一个段落。
From verse 7 to verse 16, it's clear, it's another theme.
前面这个段落提到一个很重要的一个字，就是一二三四的一字。
The first passage, when you read it, you will find that the word one appeared several times.
在中文翻译的圣经里面，第三节他说，我们要竭力保守圣灵所赐合而为一的心。
In verse 3, the English says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. But in the Chinese, it says, to have one heart.
有同一的心。
To have one heart.
然后在七节到十六节。
And then in verse 7 to 16.
在原文这个同心合意同样的一个字也在十三节里面。
The same word that was used to describe one heart was used again in verse 13.
只等到我们众人在真道上同归于一，同归于一和第三节的同心合意在希腊文是同样一个字。
Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith. The Greek word for this unity is the same word that was used to describe one heart.
而这个字呢，在整本新约里面也只有在这里出现这两次而已。
And this word, this Greek word, only appeared twice in this chapter in the whole of the New Testament.
所以第一节到第六节是提到静态的合一，第七节到十六节是讲到动态的合一。
So in one sense, we can say that the first unity refers to a passive type of unity, and the second type is an active.
那么第一段是讲到合一的基础和根本。
In the first passage, talks about the foundation for our unity.
第四节到第六节一共七次讲到一这个字。
From verse 4 to 7 times the word one appeared.
基督教的合一是建立在这七个基础上。
And the unity of the church is built upon these seven foundations.
一个身体。
One body,
一个圣灵
one spirit,
一个盼望
one hope,
一个主
one Lord,
一个信仰
one faith,
一个洗礼
one baptism,
一位上帝
one God.
在这七个一的基础，我们怎么样有合一的条件？
These seven foundations provide for us the condition for keeping the unity.
今天我们没有时间讲前面，我们要看第七节到第十六节。
Today we will emphasize verses 7 through 16.
为什么我把它叫做动态的合一呢？
Why do I characterize it as an active type of unity?
因为在这一段圣经里面讲到合一的成长和过程。
Because here we can see how the unity is established and how it can be grown.
因为在第一节到第六节，
From verse 1 to 6,
我们在相同的里面来讲合一。
We talked about unity in our similarities.
但是在第七节到十六节呢？
But in verse 7 to 16,
保罗非常稀奇地讲到一个更深的真理。
Paul delved into a deeper level of truth.
相同合一，这是我们能够了解。
We can understand being unified because we are similar.
但是呢，在第七节到十六节，保罗却在不同的里面来讲相同。
But then in the second passage,Paul told us that we can be unified even though we are different.
所以这里有两个很重要的真理。
So we can see there are two truths here.
弟兄姊妹，我们要记得合一不是化一。Unity is not uniformity. 第二，在不同的里面的合一给我们看见 unity in diversity. 这两样事情对于合一，我们必须要有个很清楚的一个了解。
So we need to bear these two truths in mind.
请弟兄姊妹，请原谅我，我再说一遍，合一不是化一。
Allow me to say this again. Unity is not uniformity.
所以今天我们在教会里面讲合一，我们不是说要穿同样的制服。
So we're not saying that when we are unified in the church that we have to all wear the same dress.
今天我们要看见一个团体的整齐。
Sometimes you want to see uniformity in an organization.
我们看见他们的合一是从化一显出来的。
And we can see, even though they claim unity, what they really mean is uniformity.
不错，这是一个很好的一个见证。
Yes, this may be a good testimony.
但是更美的一个见证，在你我的不同里面，我们可以找到相同，这是合一的一个奥秘。
But then a more mysterious part of unity is that we can be unified even though we are different.
所以到第五章的时候，保罗提到夫妇的关系来描写教会与基督的关系。
That's why in chapter 5, when Paul started to describe the relation between husband and wife and use it to illustrate the relation between Christ and the church.
我曾经说过，夫妇之间是一个很奇妙的奥秘。
I have mentioned this before. It's a mysterious thing, the relation between the husband and wife.
今年我跟师母结婚28年。
I have been married to Mrs. Lee for 28 years.
我常常说我们结婚之前就认识八年才结婚的。
We have dated and known each other for 8 years before we were married.
所以我们相处前后已经有漫长的36年的时间。
So we have known each other for some 36 years.
这36年的时间里面有一样事情我一直到现在认为这是个奥秘。
In these 36 years, there's one thing that still occurs to me as being a mystery.
因为我们两个人在许多的地方是不一样。
Because we are indeed very different in many ways.
我们的个性不同。
In our personalities.
我们的嗜好不同。
In our likes and dislikes.
我们的口味不同。
In our tastes.
连我们对动物的宠爱都不同。
In our likeness for pets.
她喜欢猫，我喜欢狗。
She likes cats and I like dogs.
但是我们的婚姻却存在了有28年之久。
And yet our marriage has survived for over 28 years.
不只是消极的存在28年，也是积极的相爱了28年。
Not only did we just survive, our love is built up every day.
你看两个人都那么辛苦。
You see how difficult it is just for two persons.
教会500人，你想怎么办？
How about 500 people in the church?
两个人都那么难过。
It's so difficult for two to adjust to one another.
500人要怎么个过法？
How do you adjust 500 together?
保罗在这里告诉我们，500人、2000人也一样可以合一。
Paul says, no matter whether you're 500 or 2000, We can be unified.
所以从第七节到十六节，保罗告诉我们不同怎么能够相同。
So in this passage, Paul is emphasizing how we can be unified in diversity.
怎么在许许多多不同的背景里面，我们在主里面可以有相同的方向，相同的侍奉，相同的见证，相同的配搭。
How even though we may come from very different backgrounds, we can have a similar goal and work towards that goal together.
因为时间的关系，我们只能够看14节到第16节。
Because of limitation of time, we can only emphasize verses 14 to 16.
因为这三节圣经很重要，所以我不要翻译，我就想好好的把它读一遍，请各位看一下你们手上的圣经，我就读中文哈。使我们不再做小孩子，中了人的诡计和欺骗的法术，被一切异教之风摇动，飘来飘去，就随从各样的异端，唯用爱心说诚实话，凡事长进，连与元首基督全身都靠他联络得合适，百节各按各职，照着个体的功用彼此相助，便叫身体渐渐增长，在爱中建立自己。在这里我们要看什么样的教会有基督长成的身量。
We want to find out from this passage what kind of church can have this maturity of Christ.
我们说要建立基督的身体，弟兄姊妹，我们要建立怎么样的耶稣基督的身体？
When we say we're building the body of Christ, what kind of body are we building?
14节保罗在这里告诉我们一句话。
In verse 14, Paul says,
他说这个身体不要再做小孩子。
This body is not the body of an infant.
然后他下面就讲了一些比喻的话。
And then he used some analogies.
提醒我们，我们一个基督的身体应该有什么样的见证。
Reminding us that this body of Christ should have a certain testimony.
我们要有坚固的信仰。
We have to have a stable faith.
让我们有一个不被考能够在风雨之中而能够接受考验的一种信仰。
This kind of faith that can stand the tempest of waves.
弟兄姊妹请注意，保罗在这里不是提出个人的信仰说的。
You have to realize that Paul is not referring to our personal faith.
这里是提到整体的信仰说的。
This refers to the corporate faith.
不错，我们很看重弟兄姊妹个别灵性的追求。
Yes, we pay special emphasis on our own personal spiritual growth.
但是当我越准备越思想这段经文的时候，
But as I prepare upon this passage,
我心里面越被提醒一件事情。
I'm reminded in my heart of one thing.
保罗在这里告诉我们的不是你我个人信仰的追求。
Paul is not emphasizing our individual pursuit of our faith.
而是指着我们整体信仰的见证。
But it refers to us as a body, a corporate faith.
你爱主，你读经，你祷告，我们感谢主。
We praise God if you love the Lord, you read the Bible, and you pray often.
但是保罗在这里告诉我们的乃是我们整体这个基督的身体怎么样有一个整体的信仰的见证。
But Paul is referring to us as a whole, as a church, how we can have a testimony in our faith.
明显的错误我们容易分辨。
Perhaps it's easy for us to tell an obvious error.
似是而非的异端很容易混淆不清。
But what about these heresies that can be very deceitful?
我们都知道圣经里面有两个角度来描写撒旦的工作。
We know that the Bible describes the work of Satan in two opposite views.
彼得前书，当彼得写书信的时候，
When Peter wrote his letters,
他看见前面有苦难要临到教会。
He foreseen that the church will face a lot of suffering.
他知道当时的教会要受到政治的压迫。
He knew the church will undergo political persecution.
所以彼得前书是安慰这些信徒怎么样预备在政治的压迫底下能够为主做见证而写。
So Peter wrote the first letter to the Christians to prepare them for the coming persecution.
他在那里提到撒旦，他怎么说呢
？How did he mention Satan there？
他说撒旦好像吼叫的狮子， 遍处游行，寻找可吞吃的人。
He said, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour."
狮子是可怕的。
Yes, a roaring lion is frightening.
但是关在动物园里面的狮子是不可怕的。
But a lion that is locked up in a zoo is not frightening.
狮子是可怕的。
Lion itself is frightening.
但是他先用吼叫来警告你，是不太可怕的。
But at least he can warn you through his roaring.
因为他还没有来，你已经知道他要来了。
Even before he is here, you can hear him coming.
只有傻瓜才会等吼叫的狮子来找他麻烦。
Only the foolish will wait around for a roaring lion to devour him.
两千年的历史里面。
In our 2,000 years of
church history, 我们看见政治外面的压迫不能消灭教会，就是这样的一个见证。
We can witness that outward political persecution cannot destroy the testimony of the church.
没有一个时代，没有一个地方是因为政治的压力而能够把教会除掉。
Through the times and ages, we know that no political power can destroy the testimony of the church.
因为那是吼叫的狮子。
Because this is like a roaring lion.
当保罗来写撒旦的时候
，But when Paul wrote about the Satan,
就跟彼得不一样。
He used a different analogy.
倒不是因为保罗跟彼得的不同
，It's not just because Paul and Peter are different.
因为罗马教会和哥林多教会有很大的不一样。
Because the church in Rome is very different from the church in Corinth.
罗马教会有魔鬼外面的压迫。
In the church of Rome. The church is faced with political persecution outwardly.
在哥林多的教会却有魔鬼里面的分化。
But then in the church in Corinth, Satan is working in the church.
所以在哥林多后书十一章，保罗描写魔鬼的时候是怎么描写呢
？So how did Paul describe the work of Satan in 2 Corinthians?
他说好像光明的天使一样。
He said, "The devil is like an angel of light."
弟兄姊妹，谁不喜欢天使呢
？We all like angels.
我们都喜欢天使。
We all like angels.
我们更喜欢光明的天使。
We would love to meet an angel of light.
但是保罗告诉我们
，But Paul warns us.
在历世历代教会历史里面，魔鬼撒旦就化妆好像光明的天使一样。
In the history of the church, very often Satan disguised himself as an angel of light.
外面看不出来。
You cannot tell from the outward appearance.
吼叫的狮子一看就分别出来。
You can tell a roaring lion easily.
光明的天使是看不出来。
But it's difficult to distinguish an angel.
现在可以。
Appearance.
吼叫的狮子一看就分别出来。
You can tell a roaring lion easily.
光明的天使是看不出来的。
But it's difficult to distinguish an angel.
现在可以站在台上拿圣经。
This person can be holding a Bible on the pulpit right now.
下台以后可以拿斧头。
But when he comes down, he can pick up an axe.
这个叫什么呢
？What do we describe this?
就是化妆。
This is a disguise.
看不出来。
You cannot tell.
保罗在这里告诉我们说，有哪一些天使的化妆呢？
And then Paul reminds us, what? How can we tell the disguises?
人的诡计
，the scheming of man，
欺骗的法术
，deceitfulness，
一切异教之风
，these heresies in teaching，
各样的异端。英文圣经有一点不同，我刚才念的这四样东西都是在第十四节里面给我们看到。
The interpretation in the English version is slightly different from the Chinese.
我不打算今天早上把这一篇信息讲完。
It's not my goal to finish this message today.
因为我想，随便的讲过去，不如我们好好的、慢慢的来思想。
Because I think it's better for us to spend time to really examine these passages.
因为保罗这里提到这四件事情，都可以值得我们深入的思想。
Because all these four different descriptions merits our deeper discussion.
什么叫做人的诡计
？What do we mean by the scheming of man？
我去查原文的圣经。
I went to look at the original language.
我发现这个人的诡计有丢骰子的意思，那个 dice throwing， 好像赌博的时候丢那个骰子。
The original Greek, when they talk about the scheming, it has some sense to mean the throwing of dice.
那我就在思想，什么叫做丢骰子的诡计呢？
And so I thought to myself, what does scripture mean when they say scheming like throwing of dice?
今天在教会的里面，什么叫做丢骰子的异端呢？
What can we say is throwing of dice in the church?
很简单的，就是所谓的机会主义。
I think very simply put, it is simply opportunism.
我的好朋友，我在台湾的时候，他每天要到学校里面去改联考的卷子。
There was a good friend of mine in Taiwan. Every day he has to go to his school to correct these exams.
那么他告诉我，他说看这些人考大学的卷子，简直是笑话多得很。
And he shared with me that there are many jokes that he can glean from just looking at these examination sheets of entering college. Especially those that you can develop your own viewpoints.
我简直是不可能这样回答的，竟然有很多这种莫名其妙的答案。
He said a lot of times these people did not answer the questions correctly.
后来他说，其实在台湾很多人如果一个考试考不出来，他就用铅笔在他的桌上就这样在滚，因为他的桌上写一二三四五六，有六个号码在上面。
He said he knows of many people when they go take an exam, they write six numbers on the table and they just throw the pencil to pick the correct one.
这是机会主义。
I describe this as opportunism.
这是赌博的心理。
This is a heart of gambling.
弟兄姊妹，今天在教会里面，常常也有这种赌博心理对真理的态度。
Today, I'm sorry to say, in the church, we have the same kind of thinking.
这是我回台湾有一个新名词，叫做速食的文化，叫做instant noodle culture， 叫做一种速食面的文化。什么意思呢？
What do I mean by that?
什么东西都要快。
We want everything instantaneously.
你这是回我想不只是我，每一个人回台湾都有这样的感觉。
I think it's not only me. If you go back to Taiwan, you would have the same feeling.
开车要快，这是没话讲。
Of course, you need to go get around very quickly.
但是倒很稀奇，我在台湾发现开车开得快，车祸很少。
But I was amazed, even though they drive very fast in Taiwan, there are very few accidents.
他们说我们台湾人开车有台胞默契，所以我们开车快，但是不会出车祸。
They describe themselves as having this understanding among each other, and so they don't run into each other.
今天许许多多的人在信仰上想要走捷径。
But today, many people want to achieve instantaneous results in their faith.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，这是保罗在两千年前提醒我们的事情。
Brothers and sisters, this is what Paul has warned us against.
好好的背十字架、读经、祷告的跟随主，我们不走这条路。
We do not pick the way of following Christ with our cross, daily reading the Bible and prayer.
我们希望很简单的有一些属灵特别的经历，主观的体验，让我们能够三步就能够登天。
We want a mysterious experience, a sudden spiritual experience that will lift us up into heaven.
然后保罗再继续讲到说欺骗的法术。
And then Paul mentioned deceitful magic.
这个欺骗的法术，这个欺骗这个字在原文跟真理这个字是刚好相反，好像光和暗相对一样。
The word that Paul used to describe deceitfulness is the same word that is the opposite meaning of truth.
保罗在这里，特别是中文翻译圣经，把它翻译成法术这两个字是很有意思。
It's interesting how the Chinese translations use the word magic to describe this deceitfulness.
在过去三个礼拜，在台湾，在 Manila， 神一直让我思想一件事情。
During my 3 weeks in Asia, I continue to think about one thing.
神机骑士到底在我们信仰里面的地位是什么？
What is the proper position of miraculous things in our faith?
弟兄姊妹，我们感谢主，有神机能够加强我们的信仰。
We praise God because miracles can strengthen our faith.
但是弟兄姊妹，如果没有神迹，是不是我们的信仰就可以丢掉呢？
But is it then Conversely, if we do not have miracles, then we cannot have our faith.
原来我再说一遍哈，神迹可以帮助我们有信仰。
Yes, miracles can strengthen our faith.
但是是不是没有神迹，我们就可以放弃我们的信仰？
But if we do not have miracles, then can we give up our faith?
换句话说，神迹在信仰里面的地位是什么？
What is the proper position of miracles in our faith?
可以帮助我们的信心更坚定。
Yes, it can strengthen our faith.
但那不是我们信仰所有的内容。
But it is not the entire content of our faith.
昨天晚上我突然想到一段的圣经。
And last night, suddenly a passage of scripture appeared in my
mind. 在路加福音十六章。
Luke chapter 16.
我把它叫做在天堂和地狱之间的一次大辩论。
I call it the debate between heaven and hell.
因为天堂有亚伯拉罕。
Because in heaven is Abraham.
地狱有那个财主。
And in hell is that rich person.
那财主在地狱里面非常的痛苦。
This rich person was suffering in hell.
他就跟亚伯拉罕讲。
So he cried out to Abraham.
好不好让拉撒路复活？
Can you...Let Lazarus resurrect from the dead.
如果他复活的话，
if he is resurrected,
他就能够把我五个兄弟不要让他们到我这个地方来受苦。
Then he can go and tell my five brothers so that they won't come and suffer with me.
他的意思是什么呢？
What did he mean?
如果有神迹，
if a miracle occurred,
弟兄姊妹，没有一个神迹大过人从死里复活，对不对？
Can we think of a greater miracle than a dead person coming to life?
我们可以讲很多的神迹，但如果你看见一个死人复活，你说这是一个最大的神迹，最了不起的神迹。
We can speak of many miracles, but perhaps we cannot think of a greater one than a dead person coming alive again.
所以拉撒路复活。
So the rich person man, if Lazarus can resurrect,
我五个兄弟不需要来。
My five brothers will not come to hell.
亚伯拉罕怎么回答他？
What did Abraham say?
他说有人复活没有用的。
He said, even if Lazarus resurrect from the dead, it will not work.
因为他们有摩西和先知的话，如果他们不听，就是有人复活也没有用。
Because they have the word of Moses and the prophets before them. If they will not listen to it, they will not listen to one who has come back from the dead.
耶稣在这里没有好像减少神迹的那个价值的意义。
I think from this passage, it's clear that Jesus is not trying to diminish the value of miracles.
但是在这里他更强调一样事情，神迹其实从绝对的角度里面来看，对我们的信仰有什么样的意义？
But in an absolute viewpoint, what is the proper role of miracles in our faith?
圣经很妙。
I think the scriptures is wonderful.
路加福音十六章的拉撒路不是约翰福音十二章的拉撒路。
I have to emphasize that the Lazarus in Luke 16 is not the same Lazarus in John 12.
但是呢，在约翰福音里面的拉撒路复活了，对不对？
But then the Lazarus in John 12 was resurrected.
这很有意思。是路加福音十六章的拉撒路，亚伯兰说不可以复活。
In Luke 16, Lazarus, Abraham said he will not come to life.
在约翰福音十二章的拉撒路复活了。
But then the Lazarus in John 12 did come back from the dead.
拉撒路复活的结果是什么？
But what was the result?
拉撒路复活的结果是什么？
What was the result of Lazarus resurrection?
因着拉撒路的复活，他们要杀耶稣基督。
Because Lazarus came back from the dead, John recorded the Jews decided to kill Jesus.
弟兄姊妹，我不希望大家误会我的意思。
Do not misunderstand me.
我相信有神迹奇事。
I believe in miracles.
前天晚上我没有办法睡觉。
The night before, I cannot go to sleep.
到一点，我只好起来。
It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I could not sleep, so I got up.
我祷告了两个钟头。
I prayed for 2 hours.
我祷告什么？
What was I praying about?
我求主行神迹在我们教会。
I pray to God that He will work miracles in our church.
弟兄们，我坐在我的书桌面前。
As I was sitting before my desk,
我没有办法禁止我的眼泪。
I cannot stop the flow of my tears.
因为我想到教会太多的人，太多的家庭需要上帝行神迹在我们身上。
Because I remember all these families, all these individuals in our church that needs the miraculous working of our Lord.
我把我所想到的家庭和个人写下来。
I listed these people.
我跟神说，我说神啊，求你行神迹在这些名字，在这些家庭的身上。
And I pray to God, God work miraculous things among these people and these families.
我一面祷告，我一面流泪。
And as I pray, I shed my tears.
我相信神要听我的祷告。
And I believe the Lord will hear my prayer.
我相信神迹其实会临到这个教会。
I believe that miraculous things will happen in our church.
但是我今天早上要说的。
But I have to also say today.
小心这些欺骗的法术。
Be careful of these deceitful magic.
就是没有这些神迹其实临到我们，我们的信仰也不受影响和摇摆。
Even though we may not experience miraculous things, our faith will not be shaken.
下面他说一切异教之风，各样的异端。
And then he mentioned how every wind of teaching and heresy.
弟兄姊妹，保罗要我们不要再做小孩子，要长大成人。
Paul's wish is that we will no longer be infants and babies, but to grow up into maturity.
在哪两方面长大成人呢？在十三节给我们看见答案。
And he also mentioned in verse 13 where we should grow.
两件事情上长大成人。
We need to grow in two areas.
在真道上同归于一。
Unity in the faith.
如果你读英文圣经的话，你会发现是第二是在认识神的儿子上也能够同归于一。
And in the English version, the second area where we need to grow is in the knowledge of the Son of God.
Unity in faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. 就是说两方面同归于一。
And this word unity applies both to the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God.
一个是在信仰上。
One regarding faith.
是在知识上。
Regarding our knowledge.
一个是在认识神的儿子上。
The second refers to the knowledge of the Son of God.
弟兄姊妹，基督教，特别是新约圣经里面的认识这个字有特别的含义。
Brothers and sisters, we need to know that when this scripture uses the word knowledge, especially in the New Testament, has a special sense.
约翰福音十七章三节说，认识那独一的真神，并认识那差来的耶稣基督，就是永生。
The Son that he sent, then we have eternal life.
认识和永生有关系。
So knowledge in the New Testament sense has relation with eternal life.
因为在圣经里面讲到认识不是单单头脑的这个认识。
When we say knowing someone in the New Testament, it's more than head knowledge.
圣经里面说亚当与夏娃同房。
When the scripture described the relation between Adam and Eve,
他所用的那个同房那个字是用 new, K-N-E-W, 那个知道这个字。
In one of the English translations, it used the word Adam knew Eve.
所以换句话说，当两夫妻亚当和夏娃有那么深切的关系，那个关系在圣经叫做认识。
In other words, the scripture's usage of the word knowledge means an intimate relation.
所以当夫妻之间有很深的在性的关系的时候，也是一种很深的一种的认识。
So Eve, the scriptures actually use the word knowledge to describe the intimate sexual relation between husband and wife.
所以当我们在这里看到这两层的归一，两层的合一。
So you see from here the two levels of unity.
使我们信仰有稳定性。
So that we can be firm in our faith.
使我们把基督的身体建立起来。
So that we can build the body of
Christ. 一方面是在知识上，一方面是在灵命上。
In our spiritual knowledge and in our spiritual life.
我再一次为着我们教会叫做圣经教会感谢主。
I praise the Lord that the name of our church is a Bible church.
求主今天早上帮助我。
May the Lord help us.
下面十五节十六节我盼望弟兄姊妹回去能够多思想。
My wish is for us to go back and meditate upon verses 15 and 16.
十四节是讲到这一个坚固的信仰。
Verse 14 talks about a firm faith.
15节是讲到平衡的生活。
Verse 15 talks about a balanced life.
第16节是讲到成熟的侍奉。
In verse 16, it talks about the mature service.
从信仰到生活到侍奉，这是保罗在这里提到健全的被建立的基督的身体是什么样子。
So Paul started with faith, goes into living and into service. And this is how he described the proper way of building the church.
我盼望下一次跟弟兄姊妹再来思想后面这两段的经文。
I will spend another sermon on this same passage.
不过特别是十四节，盼望弟兄姊妹我们在主面前领受一个提醒和挑战。
But I hope that we would receive an enlightenment and challenge today from verse 14.
叫身体渐渐增长，在爱中建立自己。
So that we can grow in our body and build ourselves up in love.
去年7月19号
Last July 19th,
尼克森 Nixon 在加州有他的一个图书馆，有个正式的开幕。
The presidential library for ex-president Nixon had the dedication ceremony in California.
那次相当的风采，相当的风光，因为有四个前后的总统都在那次的盛典出现。
There were four presidents of the United States that came to this ceremony.
福特、雷根还有布希。
Presidents Ford, Reagan,And Bush were there as well.
那次好像一个演讲大赛，因为四个人都要上台演讲。
They all had to go up for some presentations. It sounded like a competition in public speaking.
结果他们发现还是姜还是老的辣，还是尼克森讲的最好。
And then someone decided that Nixon indeed was the best speaker.
15分钟不带讲稿。
He spoke for 15 minutes without referring to a written text.
条理讲得非常的清楚。
Very clear in what he was saying.
他伟大的地方是绝口不提过去的委屈。
I think his strength is he does not mention his failures in the past.
绝口不为自己辩论。
He does not debate about what has happened.
但是我看他的演讲词。
But when I saw what he spoke about,
最后一句话我非常受感动。
I was touched by his last sentence.
他说，让我们不忘记向过去学习。
Let us not forget to learn from the past.
但让我们不要忘记，永远把我们的车灯要开亮。
But let us not forget to turn on our headlights.
我每一次想到这句话，我心里面受很深很深的激动。
When I think about what he said, I am moved.
我们教会有22年的历史。
Our church has an history of 22 years.
让我们不忘记向过去学习。
Let us not forget to learn from our past.
不要忘记要把车灯开亮。
But then we have to remember to turn on our headlights.
因为我们还要往前走。
Because we need to move forward.
我们低头祷告。
Let us pray.
亲爱的主，我们感谢你。
Dear Lord, we thank you.
因为你的话是何等的宝贝。
Because your words are precious.
求你用你的话来喂养我们。
Feed us with your words.
喂养我们个人，喂养我们教会。
Feed us as individuals, feed us as a church.
In
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. 我们请我们不久要出去短宣队的年轻的弟兄姊妹到前面来。
We now will introduce to you our short-term team to Nevada.
请他们到前面来，到第一排来。
I'm going to ask them to come forward.
我们盼望我们教会能够为他们祷告，但是希望大家对他们有认识。
We want you to pray for them, but then we also want you to see who they are.
他们都非常兴奋，20分钟前就在门口，可惜这个道讲不完。
They've been lined up outside for 20 minutes, but I couldn't stop from preaching.
Could you guys face the audience, please? 我一个一个介绍。
I will introduce them to you individually.
我们从外面介绍进来。
We'll start from the edge and come towards the center.
像手风琴一样，我们